Dreamer song. There's over 200 Dreamer songs in our area. This is one of our Dreamer songs that I've been given permission to share on this CD. I just give thanks in this time. Dreams are like flowers. There's always room for another flower, another dream. So when you realize your dream, make sure to add it in a good way and never destroy another person's dream, but to give thanks for your own in this time of great earth change. I give thanks in this way by sharing this song. All the songs that are on this CD are very, very sacred to our people in the Northwest Coast, and I give thanks to all of you.
Every month, the Thurston County Food Bank is open from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on both the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month. The Thurston County Food Bank offers all of their regular services during these hours, and they are much less crowded. The Thurston County Food Bank is located at 220 Thurston Avenue Northeast in Olympia, just two blocks north of the downtown bus station. This public service message is a courtesy of KAOS, K-A-O-S.
And you are listening to KAOS 89.3 FM, and here we go with the recording.
Childhood years, all the way my life. And then there were other elders that I learned from that after my teenage years, just sitting and listening to them.
Thank you. In some of the prophecy stories, there was a story to count 10 about the blue star, which was about the changing of the world at the end of the first world time. And then another story, the working with the power story, about the changing of the world, the 16th changing of the world during the third world. He shared that those who survived during times of great change were the ones who heard the messages of the spirit or of nature and were able to follow those teachings. Could you share a little bit about that, about what that means to us today?
The story of the Count Ten, the Blue Star, it has to do with the changing of the world during the first world and to coming back again in this time we live in, where things would get faster and faster and faster, and people, the changing, when working with the powers, was to learn to adapt to how people in this time we live in, people are going to start to, our society is going to start to use more of the working with the mind power, reading people's mind, or like some scientists now, they have the remote viewing that's going to be intensified. And more so in the blue star that comes from the east, where our people is believed that the people in like other countries like Russia, China, those people have already doing a lot of research, you know, in remote viewing and that kind of work, and took on in this country, they're going to start using it mainly for the negative. And so here, well, everybody's going to be affected, because and the only way that they're going to survive is to go towards the positive, asking the star, the blue star, the changing of the earth, the lighting of the stars that are coming to the earth, close to the earth, that happened in the first world and coming again in this world, things will be so intense, people, the feelings will be intense for them. But they won't be intense if they sing and they pray and ask this energy of learning how to read or to speak with the mind.
Thank you. In the working with the power story from the changing of the world in the third world, you said Adam McCarty, an elder, I believe, from Spokane, said that she believed what that story told was one of the things that came during that time was color. And I thought this would suggest that the changing of the world is actually a changing of our physical experience or our perception of the world. And like you were just talking about, the only way to see that is to open ourselves up to the new elements or the things that are currently out of our experience that are coming in to be a part of our world. And can you talk a little bit more about that? Was that clear enough?
Yeah. When I remember Grandma Ella from Spokane, she believed that when people get affected by the inner powers, things getting faster to start meditating and closing your eyes and visualizing colors that are calming, or even just to visualize a rainbow of all the colors, and that's to balance your mind, body, and soul. And she believed if you visualize those the colors of the rainbow in your mind and to quiet yourself. Ask those colors to balance your energies, and it would help you. And the changing of that was one of the powers that is going to be the new powers that will help people in this world.
And the working with in the Blue Star story, you talked to that. At the time, the people in charge were throwing balls of light around the earth and were destroying the families. And people of good heart would listen to the earth, and they were told to look into the earth, and there was blue paint, and to paint their faces with that. And that would only be seen by other people who were of good heart. Otherwise, it would be a protection of the people who, the black shamans, who were saying you had to paint your face red, would see that blue as red. And it also says when that healing was started, those people prayed. They would cry for the black shamans, the people in charge. And once the healing started, the black shamans were some of the first ones to come to receive that healing. And out of that grew a new civilization, a better one. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That's something that's going to be probably, I would say, another 100 years, I would say, that would happen. It's because people will be going to learn about the powers of the energies of the colors. And the colors, the 100 years, and from this time, they'll know how to use those colors to protect themselves. And from the early days of the black shamans earlier, they had been healed. They was like, for example, they had a chance to be healed, like the Christians believe that Jesus came and would save people, and people would be forgiven. It's the same thing with this healing love, the love of God, the love, the force was giving these people a chance to change. And so it's going, but we're talking about maybe thousands of years, you know, people, all the years that they're having a chance to be, it's almost like a reincarnation coming back. So we're going to see a lot of ancient knowledge that will coming that will to experience in our lifetime, and the beginning of it, we're the first generation, and we're the seventh generation living now, that is going to see the beginning. Our people are going to be pioneers in using these energies to help each other.
Thank you. In the working with the power story, it says that the people who were not open to the change when a change came, they were melted, and they became the clothes for the new people. And in the story of the peacemaker from Spokane, it said the white star man who was the peacemaker came, and people who wouldn't listen to him were turned into the stones to be made the tools for the new people, the new world. And your grandmother, talked about that the love of God, even during the genocide, was more powerful than that genocide. And so many people have forgotten that today. And can you talk a little bit about that? About a friend of mine said, you know, when I told him about the old way those bodies would become the clothes for the new people, he said, without electricity, our houses would be like that. They'd be empty. They're not the houses we think of them. They would be used in a different way. And there are so many changes going on today where things are changing. And people are afraid to let go of the old. Can you talk about that? That whole process.
where that, you know, where our generation, we're going to see the beginning of that, which is not going to be like we're already seeing it already with there's not enough gas, and there's not enough oil, you know, the prices are getting higher. But the positive thing is we're seeing more people turning to solar energy and wind energy and geo energy or whatever. So going back again to the powers of the earth, I think that we're just going to see what's going to happen, the changes of some people. It's not going to be pretty for so long. You know, things that we are going to see, it's going to be pretty terrible, but there's going to be a lot of good things also, people who will take heed to it and come together. I think it's going to cause people to be forced to come together to help people, even just with the food and everything. But I think also with this power of communicating with the mind, we're not going to be as distracted as much, because when the loud things will fail, or we won't have our cell phones or all these things, but there's going to be another engine that will replace that, where we will have, there will be cell phones, there will be powered by solar energy or other things, or other kinds of power, and it's going to be a different feeling. We're not going to have like with the energy we use today, electricity, there's so much disruption, and people, it's like people having epileptic attacks or going in convulsions internally, you know, like people just get so frustrated and they just can't stand, they just want to scream, you know, but they can't, you know, they're so surrounded in prison by this electronic mechanical system. But that's going to change. We're going to be more free of that. We're going to get stronger, because the Earth, Mother Earth, has been through it before. And this has happened before, and I think with the simple, following the simple teachings and following what the Earth is showing us is going to help us to deal with it, you know. That's my personal belief, but it's also teaching some of the old people what they believe, that the energy is just going to change. As what we're doing is going backwards with this energy we use today, it's making us go backwards. And now we're going to start going forward.
Thank you. That answered my next question. It's interesting for me that science is starting to discover that our thoughts are truly carried in an element, and they're tracing how it's been shared, which you talked about, and people have seen that for a long time. In the culture, they've known that for a long time. My next question has, in some of your stories, you talk about the only way that people will survive is not by understanding or changing the system or even trying to make their own spiritual development, but to learn to work together so the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren will have a world. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I think one of the things is this can be a greatest teaching for people who choose the higher intelligence, higher wisdom of God's love, is the forgiveness. And the forgiveness is really new to a lot of people, a lot of cultures in a lot of ways. And this forgiveness is forgiving ourselves and letting go of old energies that have been passed on from generation to generation. Sometimes it's old energies that are things that we even learn from our parents that are just old habits and old thoughts. We're trying to let go of those and then live our own life and be free of that and not do what our parents wanted us to do, what we're doing, what makes us happy. And that's a start, the physical and the mental part, but the spiritual, it goes even farther back with energies. I think letting that go is the first for our just seventh generation. Because never before where we have so many different cultures now living together or mixed now or people are learning all the same language, English, living in the society and having to communicate with many different kinds of people. We're having a chance now where this forgiveness, it's a different kinds of forgiveness. It's really like a heaven on earth. Some ways it's going to be a new way of life. This forgiveness is not a forgiveness, this is a forgiveness of really for ourselves, of not letting our intelligence, or not our intelligence, our ego, to block our spirit from learning more intelligence, more wisdom. We're letting go of our ego. And I don't know, that's as close as I can describe it. It's not the same as how the Christians talk about forgiveness. This forgiveness is truly a real forgiveness, of acceptance of all praying people, and no judgment at all.
In the story you told this July, you talked about this two girls that went on the vision quest, and they had to go into the darkness, and when they came out, there were many songs in their experiences that they were in the connection with the animals, the stones, and the other people. And what you're describing feels to me much more like that, where if we give over, our ego is taken away, we can be open to all, not just people, but even the parts of nature. Is that
all elements?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Open to all. Like for example, there's so many levels, different levels that we've learned to divide everything, and but all those veils that separate us are going to be gone.
Yeah.
There'll be no veils and no separation.
And in 1987, I remember you just talked about, we know we're in this time of change, the fourth world. One of the signs is that the seasons are all mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched that over the years, and it certainly seems true to me. And I've also heard you speak about, and you spoke about today, time is getting faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I have thought it has been very helpful for me, these kind of teachings, to understand a way of looking at the world, to understand the signs, rather than trying to use the old way to understand or fix the system or figure out how I'm going to survive. And can you talk a little bit about either the signs or how to recognize what the real signs are that we need to follow?
One of the things that has been helpful for me just in my personal life is just simply every day when I ask the Great Spirit God to, I thank God for having mercy and allowing me to live one more day. And then when I pray that way, and where God has allowed me to see one more day, I myself ask mercy for other beings and the other judgments I've had, and even just everything, the feelings, to have mercy on everything else, other living beings, living energies. So then that mercy seems like, it's like another, like having faith in the positive, faith in good, and it just opens it up for me to see that what's true coming, and there's just a freedom. It's a freedom. And so allowing myself to have mercy and accepting God's mercy too, and also I accept freedom. And I can feel it. It's feelings for me, and that makes it easier to know what's going to happen.
Another next question is, a lot of people, I think, in the last 20 or 30 years have opened up to what people used to describe as psychic or spiritual or mystical phenomena. You know, and they will see someone being prayed for and the sickness being taken off of them, or seeing, maybe I'll just call them psychic phenomena for lack of a better word. And they often get that mixed up with the meaning of spirituality. And can you say something about, you know, the relation of what you're talking about? How do we open to this deeper healing and putting those kind of phenomena in perspective, and so they can help us rather than be another distraction?
Well, all I can say is just acceptance, a spiritual acceptance, and it all begins again with ourselves. Accepting ourselves and with all our mistakes and everything, that's just the who we are, that's part of us. And by accepting that, that goes to the next level of the out of our body, you know, or what we see around us, and asking the universe that I accept myself with the universe, and then I want to accept everything as the universe accepts it, the Creator. And I always ask the Creator for the intellect and wisdom of the universe. And that seems to always help me in that way of not having all the, you know, expectations or, you know, or when the world's going to end or whatever, you know. And that it's not works. When it happens, you know. And then some people see it, and the world really ends. My grandmother used to say, even if the world ended for everybody, maybe the person, there might be one person, the world had already ended before. Another person, when the world's ending, maybe that person still, their world won't end until the world ends. You know, it's different for everybody. It really is. It's depending when you're ready, I guess, what level of intellect or wisdom that you're given, and when you're ready for it.
You've answered, I had some more questions, but you've already answered those. But I was just asked, you know, from your experience as a child, where you were living in an old traditional way, which even at the time you were a child was extremely unusual, to living in the middle of a city, in the middle of all of this busyness, with all of that going on, with your involvement, you know, in the medicine that you've given your life to, and in the Shaker Way, which is based in the Christian, and you travel as a storyteller in the world, many, many places. Any thoughts that you have about, you know, this chaotic, confusing place that we live in, and how to, you know, take that from.
Well, one thing that I've learned, just always goes back to my grandfather. My grandmother's teaching was, as you travel in this life, as when I would travel to a storyteller, or the Shaker Church, or in the medicine, or just as myself, whatever. It was a life travel, life journey, and my grandmother and grandfather used to say it, just like your whole life is just like a movie. It's just like you're going to the movies, and it's a different movie every day. and you can decide to be in that movie or stay with that movie, or go on, keep on going, go to the next movie. And just accept that and just let it be and let it go. And don't try to understand it. Don't try. Just let it be. And what is real or what's going to stay with you and help you in your life, your soul is a magnet, and you ask only the things that are truth and things that are good for you to stay with you. They will come to you because your soul is like a magnet and will come. And then there's some people that they use the magnet the other way, and so they get so covered up in darkness that they can't see anymore. So, which that can be let go too, you know. So I always thought of that as like my life was like a movie in some way. Like I heard it say, my grandmother used to say, just like about love, love is blind, but friendship is clairvoyant. She used to say that. Love is blind, friendship is clairvoyant. And I love that saying. My grandmother used to say that in our language. And that's the way I kind of looked at. Because sometimes through life you have many lovers or people you fall, but love is blind, you know. But, you know, and the friendships that you acquire through your life, you always receive teachings. And even, and if you find a lover, that can be a friend too. That's a miracle there. And because, you know, it's another, you know, you can learn something from that. And so I've always thought of just my own personal life as like a, you know, going to a movie all the time. And it's, everything is a teaching. And I look at my life, the soul, is like we say, it's a soul searching. You know, we're always searching, always. And we just have to just be open and be thankful for what we learn, what we see. And then the more we're thankful, the more we learn. And that happiness, you know, that we receive, it's a healing. And through sadness and anger and all the things that we have to go through, that I always say it can be the stoplights, you know, that sooner or later that stoplight's going to change to go, you know, we have to be happy and go, you know, we're not going to stay there and suffer.
I think that's pretty covering this. I'll write this up and I'll send it.
Yeah, that was.
This is Billy Frank from Nisqually, the chairman of the Northwest Indian Fish Commission, and make no bones about it. You know, if you watch it. Thanks, Billy.
Yeah, that was Billy Frank there. But before that was the interview that happened just recently, and it was November 16th when Chelsea Nauman was in town. We have Chelsea Nauman on the line, and how are you this evening?
Hi, Brian. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for taking time with us and sharing, yeah. And also allowing us to play that. It's there's a lot in it. I've been listening to it now since you gave it to me, and I find great medicine in it every time I listen to it. So first, thank you, Ihaichka, for allowing us, and also thanking Johnny Wistemini for letting us air it too. And just wanted to talk a little bit about the time that we're in. Me and you've been talking about this for a long time now, and I just think it's important. Like one of the things that stuck out for me out of many things is like the love of God is, you know, stronger than the love of everything else. And so if we can stay in that, and also the forgiveness piece, you know, with this ourselves, I'm not saying the everything out there. Just for me, it was all about ourselves, you know, and moving forward in a good way.
Well, I'd like to just back up a little bit and first say I talked to Johnny with Stemini this morning, and he's out leading the circle again this afternoon, and was glad that we were able to share this. And to give a context for this dialogue that Johnny and I had, I was fortunate to spend 25 years with Johnny and to work with a lot of Native people from different tribes. I worked for tribes and was able to, you know, share on the spiritual traditions of a lot of tribes. And hearing Johnny's prophecies, I kept thinking, and I'm living in Montana, and a lot of people are saying, you know, what's happening to our world? And, you know, is it tomorrow it's going to end? And how do we understand the signs? And so I was so grateful to have this time to share with Johnny. And like you just said, you know, his comments about, you know, in 100 years we'll understand more how to work with the colors, and that our work right now has to do with the love of God and the forgiveness for ourselves so that we can become open. And when I heard those things, it gave me a great refuge in the ancient wisdom and of the old ones who said, you know, this has happened before, and we just need to remember to be in touch with nature and that forgiveness and the love of God. So, you know, I think my sense is the same as yours, is that how important those things are. And we can talk more about, you know, some of the changes that are happening now if you want to, but I wanted to say that as well.
Yeah, I think that's important, what you said, and also just like for me, like I've been processing a lot of some of the things that are happening, like you said, and I just found out yesterday that there's an earthquake in Mexico. And these are all these changes that we've been talking about and how the earth is talking. And I just feel that it's important for us to pay attention. And we're coming, I think all of us, all the cultures are coming out of a deep sleep. And
well, I remember back in 1987 when I was just first learning these teachings and hearing them. And I remember Johnny shared, you know, and he said that he was trained because of prophecies that had been made several hundred years ago, that these teachings would need to be brought out at this time. And he talked about the earth changes and that the earth would, things like earthquakes would happen. But he even more talked about the political and the social changes that are happening and that we'll be forced to have times where people remember how to come together and work together, as things like cell phones and radios and the current way we use electricity fail, and the transportation and the communication systems fail, that we're going to have to return to those ways of working together and using our minds. And I was so encouraged this time when I talked with him and how important that love of God and that forgiveness, so we forgive ourselves, so we can hear those messages from nature. And for me, the key to helping understand what's happening in our world, which seems so crazy or so fast on so many levels, the earth changes, the political changes, is remembering day to day that love of God and how we can work with our brothers and sisters. And it just continually comes back to that.
I totally agree, and how that we have to work together is, I know for myself, is I need to let go, you know, that forgive this piece, and also, like, I'm looking at the bigger picture, you know, I see, I've been talking to a lot of people, and, you know, there's also a lot of denial around us, you know, of things that are happening, and so if we can forgive ourselves and work through the denial and then remember the Creator, God, remember,
yeah.
You know, and nature nature is that. And so when we do that, I feel that we're able to see with an eagle vision instead of like just a little thing in front of us. And I like how he put that, and I can hear that over and over, you know, that love energy, God energy is allowing us to change. It's giving us that chance to change. That's what he said. And I feel that that is really important. And I think a lot of the things that I've been reading and hearing we're in the time of remembering the Creator.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think an important part of that, he indicated, you know, some of the problems we have in this country particularly are how we use electricity. And I've been over here in Montana talking to some scientists, and there's a major concern about all the effects of electromagnetism and the effects of cell phones and on and on. And without going into precise detail about how much emotional and physical damage those are doing because of the way that those things are being used, and in my mind that goes along with how things are being speeded up. You know, we use electricity to, you know, in the computers and the movies and our cell phones. And in a way, that takes us out of our connection with nature into the connection in our mind and those images. And we forget those basic feelings that are connected to nature. And I think he gave us a very important clue about not getting lost and starting to look at the effect of electricity. I mean, we go throughout our country, and there are power lines everywhere, and just to start to imagine what would happen if those aren't there, and how we need to come back to looking at our neighbors, who often many of us don't even know, as our brothers and sisters, and what that's starting to mean, and to identify, you know, what some of the problems in our society are, instead of thinking the bureaucratic or the social way, oh, we got to make better power lines. We need to make better friends of our brothers and sisters.
Absolutely, and it makes me think about, you know, we have to get out of the mindset that the same system that created it is going to change it. You know, we have to come back into that, what you just said, the you know, because we don't have to lose anything. We can do it in a better way, in a good way, and we have, you know, we have it all there. We just have to put it to use.
Well, and, you know, and that reminds me what you said is, you know, of, you know, the wonderful sacred traditions of the people around the world, and, you know, in the Northwest Coast, the songs and the dances, and like he said, Grandma Ella said, you know, visualizing those colors, and we forget that we can ask the powers of nature, the colors of nature, those colors to come inside. And when we're agitated, trying to keep up with this busy world, to remember, particularly at those times when we don't know what to do or we feel frustrated, to remember to call, you know, just to take a breath and think of the blue light or think of that rainbow light. And those things will show us, you know, on a day-to-day level, while we're in the midst of all this busyness, to help us to sort the way through.
Absolutely. We have to slow down and really, like, come into ourselves, into that, you know, breathe. And I myself go through that once in a while. I'm moving real fast, and then I'll go, I didn't even get a chance to breathe, and so I just would focus on my breath, and like he said, I would bring in different lights into my body and calm myself down, and I know from there, you know, I become more clear, coherent, and I think better. Instead of like, you know, like, oh, what happened? You know, so I know that, for me, that speaks truth, and so I just feel that, and things are going to speed up. He did talk about that, and we are seeing a lot of evidence of that, you know, just around us. I was just at this thing with Billy Frank Jr. and Nisqually Cooperation, and they had it down at Traditions, and he talked about, you know, the water being dead and what we have to do to help it. And heat, one of the things I want to play it eventually over the air, but one of the things that he reminded us all, he said, we're out there doing this, all this stuff that we're doing. We're fixing the water. We're bringing the plants in. We're praying. You know, and we have to remember that's our breath is a prayer, and those things, they're really important. It really helped me a lot when I heard him say that.
Well, I love Billy, and he's such a strong man in my, in my experience. And Johnny has said the same thing. It's like the water needs us just like we need the water. And he said it's as simple as every time we have a meal, we take a drink of water. Or every time we take a drink of water, we remember to pray for it. And it's a reciprocal relation. And the plants and the fish and the water, if we forget to pray for them, they forget to pray for us. And I think it's not easy to get back to those things living in the midst of this busy world, like I've been saying, and to understand it's not all of the mystical, on this date the world's going to end or it's going to change and everything will be better. It's like this moment we need to remember our connection with Creator, to forgive ourselves for forgetting and those sort of things. And I'm just really, really grateful that so many of the ancient teachings are coming out, that we're being... This old information is being shared with us now to remember who we are.
Right. And I like what he said, about the world ending for somebody might be tomorrow, yeah. Or might be next year for another person. We all have that time. And I think that, and we have to be kind to people. I try to meet people where they're at, and just give them the information. And if they take it, that's fine. And then they move with it. And I like how he said that, because it is important, because each time that we're alive, we're all evolving, some yep. faster than others, but we're all evolving. And so we're here to help each other, lift each other up. So, we just give a little information, hopefully, that made sense, and remember coming back in, remember Creator, yep. and be thankful for what we have.
Well, it's funny to me. I all often think of, I'm in circles where everyone has a chance to share. and I think it's funny, but I think of what we're experiencing is God's ear. And God's ear is big enough to hear all of us. And when we all are listening in that way, we can hear one another, and perhaps we can start to see one another's gifts. And I think the funniest comment Johnny made is his grandma said, love is blind and friendship is clairvoyant. And I think when we start seeing each other as friends rather than being afraid and righteous and feeling like we have to do something or know something, we can be in that place. We can start to see each other as friends, and the animals and the water as friends.
Absolutely, and how we need each other. And it's important for us to remember that. So I'm grateful for that. And like you said, I'm grateful for all the old ones that are teaching, because this is a prayer that was laid down 7 generations for all of us.
Yep.
And so those of us that are paying attention, it's up to us to keep trying to bring people together and into that love of God, our Creator, whatever you want to call the source.
Yeah.
And it's just... go ahead.
I think another thing that was very very important in what he shared was, and I'm seeing it in my experience, is the mind power is growing. People call it telepathy or whatever it's called, and I've experienced so many, particularly young people, and sometimes even 5 and 6 year olds who have dreams, or they start to talk about what they're seeing, and it is an answer to the question someone, or the issue that someone around them has been having. And in many ways, I'm starting to see that people are opening up to those kind of things rather than, you know, the old logical way of explaining the old system, and trusting that intuitive heart space rather than relying on the old system. And I think, you know, I always think of some stories that I've heard Donnie shared about in the old days, before the white people came here, someone would receive a message at their altar and they would get in their canoe and travel for days to go see their relative, maybe hundreds of miles away, because they trusted that kind of communication. And I think it's important that we even start to consider those kinds of communication and how we can use them today, not in the old way, to connect with our relatives, whether they're, you know, human or the animals, and that it's all part of the same process.
Absolutely, and it boils down to, like you said, knowing your neighbor, reaching out, helping. Because we're, you know, it is good to, you know, it is happening. Like, all this stuff is happening right now, and I see it every day where I'm at. Because I work in the system, and I see a lot of that happening. How it is speeding up, and people are losing that connection, and so. Whatever we could do, I try as little as I can to bring in some light into the building and to uplift people there, to give them that spark that they need in order to move forward.
And I think that's really important now. I mean, I'm living in Montana, and I was over there, and I witnessed the Occupy movement over there, and I see people. Many, many places that the number of dispossessed and the people who are suffering physically and can't get resources, and the people who had jobs and can no longer get jobs because they're older or they're younger and there aren't enough jobs, that these old teachings, and Johnny said, his grandmother said, that the people knew that love was stronger than the genocide. And I think it's really important to remember, you know, there are really hard times. And if we open our heart, and in this interview, Johnny mentioned, you know, there are hard times that will happen. And the way to remember that is to forgive ourselves, to use the songs, to use the prayers, and to lift first ourselves up so we remember who we are, and then we can help lift our families and our loved ones up.
Yeah, it what it does for me, when you just said that, remembering that it's all about also participation. And I knew, like, the more that I participate in the circles, the more I remember.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's very important for us to that's a key element for me, is like you have to go and participate and be with the people. And that helped me. I can just say that helped me.
Yeah.
And so we got about 6 more minutes, and I just wanted to give you a chance to, like, say what's on your heart, and I appreciate you calling, and I just I'm grateful that we're able to play this interview and have this little chat here.
Well, I want to express my gratitude, you know, for Johnny Moses with Stemini, and, you know, his grandparents who raised him, Johnny and Mary Moses, and his parents, you know, who live at Tulalip now, and all the circle members who have helped support him over the years. And one of the things that I'm so aware of is that 3 years ago I moved over to Montana, and I was aware, it's like I've left my spiritual family, because the mountains over here said I needed to come over here and do this work. And that these teachings we often don't understand. And I think one of the most important things is that we need to forgive ourselves time and time again so that we can open up to that wisdom of the universe, so that we can really truly see what that work is, and on a day-to-day basis, because as every time I try to figure out, oh, what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen the next day or what do I need to do, I usually end up stumbling, and then I need to forgive myself and go back to the prayer. And I feel like so many of us have forgotten that. You know, in many of our discussions, it's, you and I get to talk on often a daily basis about all the things that we're seeing. It's like there are many, many hard things that we're experiencing now. And the thing that this medicine and this ancient ways have given me is a place to know that there's a strength much stronger than those hardships. And I'm really grateful for, you know, this opportunity on your show to be able to share this. And, you know, I part of that for me is giving thanks to all the people that are listening, all the elders, all the ones who are carrying on these traditions in their own way, in their own life. So I wanted to share that as well.
Thank you. And it is true. It's all the things for me that happen around me is to get me out of the prayer. And yeah. So I just try to breathe deeply and stay in the prayer and know that what you said, and I talked to Robert Sataikam a lot about this too, and, you know, the creator, you know, there's nothing stronger than the creator. So I just have that faith, yeah. and stay in that prayer and breathe as often as I can and really focus on my breath, because sometimes I think all of us do this. We just move around so quickly we forgot to, like, thank the breath that runs yeah. through us, and that's a prayer.
You know, and I also think, you know, part of what's been developed over the last couple hundred years is a great use of the mind and all of our technological advancements. And I was glad to hear Johnny say, you know, we may we'll lose our cell phones the way they're run now. But it's a very positive thing to see the people turning to geothermal and solar energy. And I think it's also, you know, as we're going through this process to focus on, oh, there are nature, forces of nature, powers of nature that will help us there, that, and we can, and I believe we'll combine those with, you know, some of our technological understanding. So we, you know, we're not going back to the world the way it was 200 or 500 years ago. We're using the resources that have been developed to join in to work with nature in a way that will be better for all of us. And you know, and I believe using the colors, even beginning to understand what it means to use the colors with our mind, to use our colors as energy, use. What does it mean to use geothermal energy, to be able to have that energy that doesn't deplete us, but is a good way? And as we're going through the hard times and we see our brothers and sisters that are hurting physically, economically, you know, how do we stay strong so we can help as many of us as we can?
Absolutely, and I think it's just staying in the prayer, you yeah. know, and doing the participating with one another.
Yep. Yeah. And I think perhaps the biggest thing for me, at one point, I forget exactly where in the interview, but Johnny said, you know, all the veils are being lifted. And if we look at this world not through our understanding of how we grew up, how our parents grew up, and what they handed down to us in terms of, you know, social or our day-to-day living, but that we're coming into a time where those veils of understanding in our mind that have limited us are truly being lifted, and that if we approach that in a humble way and respectful way, we'll be shown how to build, how to be stay positive. And that's what's going to help us to get through to the new world, to the, you know, so our children, grandchildren will have a better world to come into.
Absolutely. And again, it's just having that faith and knowing and trust. And I appreciate you giving us a call and sharing with us this evening. And I'd like to do this again. And down the road. And,
I'm grateful and I'm glad to have this opportunity to share this information. I thought was very valuable personally and with my friends, that we could share that with all of your people who are listening. And thank you for your work.
Thank you, and we'll give you a call in a little bit.
Okay. All right. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Oi. Yep.
And you're listening to Make No Bones About It. This is Raven Redbone, and that was Chelsea Nauman. And tonight I got a little bit of, we're going to do some prophecy teachings and stories. And I recently had the opportunity to set with Teokusen Ghost Horse just recently. He was in town, and I was able to chat with him and talk about some things that are happening. And so I'm going to play a little something that I got from him, and we'll be back at about 5:30, and we'll go through the calendar of events. And yeah, this is Make No Bones About It. You're listening to Raven Redbone. And here we go.
What makes you such a threat? We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Uchasha. Akan tu uchasha. Oweto na kechama kakiril akan ompi. Owa hutopa na hupahu yukhambi. Tako shkanshkanga ompi kele na yuha. Ma kakiril. Hakantkhan katako wa echakil ake he om. Oho kichilapikte. Uchasha yechil. Owa ma kakiril. Ushi kichilakte. Ona taku shiche hana koki prakte itan khabi gelo zakt ayo ayate wa khanra kilana ta ichahu chakyakte ona hoki chila mani pikte